That was special, as it always is. And just before we start the reading that we're looking at this week, I'm just going to quote a verse from a few chapters back. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. And it says, because it's relevant for this talk, especially what the Lord says towards the end. And just hear this verse now. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Because that's relevant for what we're going to be looking at in this passage. So I just thought I'd start with that, just to sow the seed. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as Anthony's just prayed, we pray again that the seed would be sown in our hearts, that it wouldn't be lost, and that we would take care how we hear. For when your word speaks, you speak, and we are accountable for that. Amen. Amen. God says in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 16, Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. But do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So that's God's word, and it's a heavy passage. So just to begin, only Luke records this. None of the other evangelists do. And Jesus... Right, and in my translation it says 72, in some translations it says 70. That's not a big deal, but a lot of scholars think Luke's making a point here. In Genesis chapter 10, they say there's 70 nations named. And Luke's gospel, Luke wrote two books in the New Testament, as we know, Luke and Acts. And Luke's emphasis, the point Luke makes in both books, is that the gospel is for the whole world. You know, the Old Testament, or the Old Agreement, that's what testament means, was just with the nation of Israel through Moses. this new agreement, the new covenant, is through Jesus Christ, and it's for all nations. You can read about that in Revelation 5. People praising God in heaven from every tribe, language, people, and nation. It's not just for one little ethnic group like Israel was. And some scholars say that's Luke making a point, because Luke's gospel was written for non-Jewish people. So he's making a point that this is for everybody. So praise God. And what Jesus sends them out, and it's 72 other people. It's not the 12 apostles and 60 others. The apostles, the people who were closest to Jesus, they were sent out in Luke chapter 9. So this is a group of people that Jesus is sending out to do his work, going on ahead of him, and they go by two by two. That's for accountability and encouragement. Accountability, they keep each other in check. Because even the best of us, of which I am not one of the best, but the best preachers, the best missionary workers, the people who are most on fire for God, even they need someone to say, friend, what's up? What are you doing? They also need encouraging, because it's hard work. The Lord says here, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not sheep in the midst of wolves, lambs. Baby sheep in the midst of wolves. So they need to encourage each other. Keep each other going. Spur each other on. Keep your chin up, friend. You know, when two of heroes of mine, Latimer and Hooper, I think it was. No, I can't remember the other fellas, but Latimer. They were burned at the stake for the gospel in England. Queen Mary I burned them at the stake. And as they were tied back to back, and Latimer's friend said to him, courage, brother Latimer. Today we light a fire in England, and no one will ever be able to put it out. Wow. that's what we need. We need people who will say stuff like that to us. So two by two. And he tells them what to do, how to preach, and what the consequences are. He tells them what to do. The first thing he tells them, these 72 missionaries, is pray. Pray. He says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, the laborers, are few. You're 70, and you're 70 brilliant people, but you can't do all this. You, as you're going out doing all this, you need to pray to the Lord of the harvest, and that, of course, is Jesus, that I send more people out. So there's no room for pride among the 70. Jesus is saying, you can't do this. You've got all this work to do, but you're not going to do it all. You're just 70 people. So pray earnestly, not an occasional, oh Lord, send missionaries, arrow prayers, but weeping prayer, broken-hearted prayer, desperate prayer. Prayer. God, the nations are going to hell. There's people who don't know you. Our town, our country, our world. You know, one missionary, Paul Washer, he works for Heart Cry in America. He said, we've all been kept up at night. Our marriages, our kids, our finances have all kept us up at night. But how many of us have been kept up at night thinking that people haven't heard the gospel of Christ? It's an uncomfortable question. When was the last time we wept and prayed for God to send workers out into the harvest? Because that's what Jesus says to the 72. He tells them to pray. Because that's where great missionary work starts and ends, doesn't it? Prayer. You read any revival in history, the men and women who were behind it were men and women of prayer. And they probably had a ton of people who nobody knows about praying for them. So pray. He tells them to pray. And then he tells them what to preach. He says, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. So they're to preach that. This is the time of favor. This is Luke, again, another thing Luke emphasizes is the what we call the transition between the old agreement, the Old Testament, and the New Testament. And it's, he's saying, this is the beginning of that new era. The kingdom of God has come. In the person of Christ, the kingdom of God is here now. And they're to go out and they're to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus tells them to go and heal the sick. He tells them to go and heal the sick. He tells them to do what I'm doing. And say, peace be to this house. You know? So that's what they're to go out and preach. The same as Jesus did. Jesus is commissioning them to preach his message out into these towns and through to the whole world. And he tells them how to do it. He tells them how to do it. They're to do it simply. They're to live simply. Notice he said, carry no money bag, verse 4, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. They're to be single-minded. They're not to be rude. You know, when it says greet nobody on the road, it wasn't like we do. All right. That's not a greeting. It was a formal greeting. A religious person came, they would have almost like a ceremony for them. He says, don't do any of that. And when he says no sandals, I don't think he meant they all should go barefoot. He just says, just take what you've got and go on. Yeah? They're to live simply. They're to be single-minded people. Men on fire for the gospel. To preach that Jesus is the Lord and that his kingdom has come. That's what they're to be. Material things are a blessing. And we'll talk more about this at the end when we do the applications, but it can be. It's a very good, they're very good servants, but bad masters. And we in the West know better than that, than anyone who ever's lived in human history, don't we? So they're to live, they're to preach and live simply. They're to be compassionate. As I've said, they were told to perform miracles of healing. And those miracles, as we've said, they were to announce that this is what the kingdom of God's like. The kingdom of God, as we've said, is already, but not yet. So there is a sense that the kingdom of God is here now. But when Jesus comes back, it'll be fully completed. And there'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no sadness. All tears will be dried and everything will be beautiful. But we're not there yet. That's our hope. That's our hope. So it's already, but not yet. So those miracles that the 70, along with Jesus and the apostles, were to perform are like the little glimpse of the kingdom of God. You know, this is what the kingdom of God's like. People are healed. People are made new. People are saved. People are, you know, given new starts. It's exciting. This is what it is. But there's an interesting point to that. The church isn't just to preach and then leave people to it. The church has to meet people's needs where they're at. James talks about that in James chapter 2. What is the point in telling people, God bless you, be filled and be clothed, but you don't help them do it? It's empty words. It's empty words. Some of us know our friend Amber put a little quote by Matt Chandler on Facebook. Matt Chandler is an American pastor. He's from the Bible Belt, so this probably would have been a bit controversial. It's no good, quote, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said, it's no good American Christians saying abortion is murder without helping poor mothers in their struggles. It's no good just saying we're pro-life but not doing anything to help the poor for whom a child coming into the world would devastate them. How pro-life are we, he asked. And several American Christians are asking that. If we'll not talk about American politics, it's depressing, and I make a rule never to talk about it in the pulpit, but there's that polar debate in America, isn't there, about abortion. And many say, well, how pro-life is the American Christian right? Because it's very easy to say, don't do that, and they're right. But if we're not prepared to help and minister to people, it's empty words, isn't it? And that's something of what Jesus says here. The church is to minister to people's real needs. And we do that at SVC, don't we? Christians Against Poverty. If you hear CAP, you're not familiar with that phrase. It's our main mission, our vehicle out. And people come on it. Some people have become Christians and some people haven't. The main aim is to see people become Christians. But another aim is to bless people, whether they come to Jesus or not. Because that's one of the church's duties as well. And Jesus sends these 72 out to do it. As we've also said, they're to preach peacefully. You know, peace be on this house. And if there is a son of peace, the peace returns to them. But if it's rejected, the 70 is to go on. Remember we said 2 weeks ago, Christians should not persecute people who reject the gospel. Christ forbidden it. Oh, that the church had paid attention to that lesson for 2,000 years of history. There is no room, you know, the apostles James and John asked Jesus, should we call down fire and consume them? And Jesus said, no. You know, they're to preach peacefully. There are consequences for rejecting the gospel, but there's that famous verse, isn't there? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Our duty is to love. Our duty is to serve. Our duty is to say, if persecution in its proper sense ever comes to Britain, we will love you. We forgive you. Like the early Christians did in the Roman Empire days, you know, some of the Roman soldiers couldn't believe that the Christians, they'd slaughter their family and then the Christian would say, we forgive you. They couldn't believe it. You read the history of the early church. But that's what we're to be. As hard as it is, it was hard for these 70 and Jesus doesn't pull any punches, remember that? But that's how we're there to preach, there to be peaceable. And now we come to the consequences of rejecting the gospel. He says in verse 11, even the dust on your feet that clings, wipe it off and say the kingdom of God has come. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. And he uses two other towns, Tyre and Sidon, than for these towns that the miracles were performed in. Now, why is that? Why is that? You see, to he who is given, where much is given, much is required. Sodom, if you don't know where that is, you can read about it in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 19. There was no scripture at that time. They only had the testimony of Lot, who lived among them. That's Abraham's nephew. And God has revealed himself. I believe scripture teaches God reveals himself what we call generally and specially. Generally, to all humanity in creation, as Anthony talked about beautifully. And in conscience, you can read about that in Romans 2. You know, all peoples, all through history, have had a belief in God, a belief in marriage, laws against murder, religious holy days, all of that, because that's what we call God's law written naturally on the heart or conscience. Because of the fall, it's been darkened and we get it horribly wrong, but it's there and it's what makes us human. It's what separates us from animal life. So that's God's general way of revealing himself. And Sodom would have had that, so they were accountable to God. And they did some horrible things if you read about it. I'm not going to say it out loud what they did. But these towns were more accountable. Why is that? Because there's two other ways God reveals himself specially. In the scriptures and in the face of Jesus Christ, the ultimate revelation. Now these towns would have seen Jesus Christ, heard that the kingdom of God had come, seen miracles to prove that this was genuine, and then said, sorry, that's not for me. Oh, And remember what happened to Sodom. It was consumed with fire from God. But as horrible as that is, it'll be more bearable for Sodom than for this town. And bear in mind, take heed how you hear. We today are more responsible than even these towns. We've got the entire New Testament. We've got 2,000 years of Christian history. You've heard preaching week after week after week. Oh, to whom much is given, much is required. So what should we do with all this? Well, it's a heavy topic, very heavy topic. But I thought of three things that we should go away with and think about and pray about. And it's funny, I wrote in my notes and then I thought, well, them three things are just the same things as what I've just said. But if a sermon's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching twice. So the first thing we can do, SVC, brothers and sisters, is pray. Jesus tells us to pray. Pray for workers to go into the harvest. There's a harvest out there in Leigh. There's people dying and going to hell. And it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than it will be for them. Our poor country, the United Kingdom, what a nation, what a Christian heritage we have, and how far it's come down in the past few decades. Pray. Pray for our church here at SVC. There's always something to do. So pray that God raises workers up from this church. And even say that prayer that Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What do you want me to do? Yeah? Pray for helpers, lifts, prayer warriors, people who will help in the kitchen, whatever. Pray. Let's get serious about prayer. Not just for our church, but for all this town. For our friends out there doing ministry. Pray for them. And pray and pray and pray. Earnestly, it says. Earnestly. You know, John Knox, the first Scottish Protestant, he said, give me Scotland or give me death. That was his heart, to see his country saved. He couldn't live without it. That's an evangelist's heart. That's a heart for someone who wants to see people won for Christ. The second point, Jesus told the 72 to live and preach simply. And as I say, us in the West need to hear that more than any other group of Christians in history. Christians in the West, even the poorest of them, have a better standard of living than most people who live on the planet now and at any time in history. And I'm not belittling how hard it is for poor people. I work in a factory. I see it. I'm not belittling that. I'm not saying, oh, well, you don't know you're born or anything like that. But we, most of us, are remarkably blessed. Use it to the glory of God. And beware of your heart. Watch your heart against what we call materialism. As I say, these things, these houses, these cars, these phones, these computers, these books, all of them, they're wonderful servants and can be used to the glory of God in unimaginable ways. But they're terrible masters. When wealth becomes an idol, when possessions become an idol, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to make money at any cost. We saw what happened, didn't we, 11 years ago, when the banks nearly collapsed and the whole world nearly came to a depression. That's what happens because it's never enough. It's never enough. Only God satisfies. Only God fills the heart. Only God gives wealth unimaginable. And he gives a blessed hope into all eternity. So let's live simply. Let's enjoy. And again, I'm not sorry I was born in 1984. I'm glad. I don't like the fact I'm not 25 anymore, but I'm not saying scorn the blessings of the modern world. You know, think of the blessings we have in Britain in the 21st century. You know, I was educated. When I was sick, the NHS took care of me. I can ring my relatives. I can have face conversations with people on the other side of the world. All that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm so glad I was born now and live at this time. I don't look back centuries gone by and think, oh, it was great in Christian Britain. I wish I lived there. No, I don't. I don't want to live then. You know? Poor lad like me wouldn't have been around in his 30s. But let's use it to the glory of God. And let's remember that ultimately it's his anyway. And let's remember the poor and the less well off. And let's live simply. So pray, live simply. And bringing it full circle, be careful how you hear. You, my friends, have heard, I trust, the gospel week after week after week after week after week. What will be required of you and me will be greater than what will be required of Sodom and Tyre and Sidon. It is an awesome, solemn, beautiful privilege to come to church on a Sunday, to hear God's word spoken and preached, to hear God's word sang. Yes, the worship leaders preach. They just preach through the medium of song. They proclaim God's wonderful works. So take care how you listen. Give God your full attention. Is it not fair that we do that during worship? You know, when the worship leader's talking and leading us, listen to him or her. Be reverent, be serious, and be joyful. Be respectful of your neighbors. If you need to have a chat, more than welcome to go to the kitchen, more than welcome to go outside, because things do happen. But let's be serious about how we listen. I give you that. I'll mention it again. When you leave here tonight, don't just let the seed be taken away. You know, we talked about that in the parable of the sower. The bird comes and takes the seed away. Think about the word, ponder it, meditate on it, and think, what am I going to do with this sermon? Because there was a beautiful story. A Scottish preacher, his wife couldn't go to church because she was ill. And he came through the door and she said, good day, sir. Is the sermon done? And he said, no, madam. The sermon was preached. But a sermon isn't done by the preacher. It's done by those who hear. So practice what you hear. Don't say, if you'll forgive me, don't say amen when I say pray for workers and then go home and watch telly and never pray about it. Don't do that. There's going to be a day when we're called to account for God. And as Thomas Watson, one of the Puritans, said, to go to hell is awful. To go to hell with a head full of gospel sermons is truly awful. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and you've heard the gospel, we would invite you to come to him this very day, to give your life to him. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. You do that yourself. Just say, Jesus, save me. If you are backslidden, you've had a horrible week, you're flat as a pancake, and you don't know how God can love you anymore, oh, go away. God can love you. God's got more grace and love for you than you can ever dream of. Come back to him this very day. And if you're going on with Christ, and you've got your face like flint, come to Jesus Christ this very day. Dedicate yourself to him. Give yourself to him. Rejoice in him. Delight in him. And all the blessings that he has. And the one who hears him, he is God. Because he is God the Son, God in the flesh. And his kingdom has come. And we have that blessed hope. So that can be yours today. That is yours today, many of you. God bless you. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this beautiful church. We thank you for the work you've done in it over the years. I want to thank you for Anthony and Phil and Jack and, of course, the most amazing, beautiful lady in the world, Simone. thank you for the blessing that they are. Thank you for Eric and Jackie, all the work they did over the years. Thank you for Daz on the desk, the overlooked job. And thank you for these people sat in front of me that you've entrusted to us. Thank you for Angela. She's back. Yeah, thank you for all that you've done. And we pray that you'd raise up workers from this harvest. Raise workers from this church and go out into the harvest. People will pray. People will worship. People will serve. People will wash up. People will give lifts. You raise them up, oh God. We beg you to do it, Lord. This town needs you to move. Our dear country needs you to move. Break our hearts and help us hunger and thirst for you and to see you move in our time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.